Welcome to the Fundamental Entrepreneur Podcast, where entrepreneurs come to be educated, enlightened, and empowered for success in their business pursuits. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Fundamental Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Dallimore. I'm glad to be with you today. This is episode number 25. Really excited about the topic and what we're going to be talking about today. And just before we dive into that, I want to say for those of you who are wondering where Danielle has been, don't worry. She'll be back next week with some episodes for you all. It's just the way our schedules have worked out. I've kind of had to take these last few podcasts. And so don't worry, you'll hear from Danielle again very soon. Like I said, I'm excited about this episode and thrilled about the topic we're going to be discussing. Today, we are joined by Mark Cornelson. He's an attorney with Maines Taggart, a law firm here in the great state of Idaho. And Mark, it's so great to be with you today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah. You know, and just as we get into this, Mark, I want to give a little background of why I've invited you on here. And first, you know, I'd like to get a little bit of your background, but kind of what stemmed this conversation or what we're going to be talking about today is you and I kind of have been talking about some other things. We've worked on some mutual client projects together, and we got talking about, you know, business fundamentals. And you'll explain this a little bit in your background, kind of what you're currently doing and the type of businesses that you're helping. But we started talking about fundamentals and what businesses need to be doing to stay successful in business. And so I just want our listeners to understand kind of where this had come from. And so I'm really looking forward to this conversation, taking what we talked about at lunches and phone calls and everything and putting it on this podcast so everybody can enjoy it. So I'm excited to have you, Mark, and I hope you're ready to go.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, let's start off with this. I think it's kind of important for everyone to understand a little bit about you. You're an attorney, but you've got a kind of some business background, some different things that you've done. So why don't you talk a little bit about your background and your experience in business?
Sure. So I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. Most of my family owned their own businesses. And then I went to law school, graduated in 2007 from law school. After that, I practiced in a small town. I also started two small businesses on the side, had those ventures. I even traded stock options and purchased an airplane from trading stock options. So had kind of a wide variety of interests. And as a result of those experiences, I learned that business fascinated me. And in 2014, I returned back to school and did a full-time MBA program. Graduated in 2016, and then at that point, I did management consulting work for PricewaterhouseCoopers. They are one of the big four accounting firms, as well as an advisory firm. At that point, we moved to Dallas, and I worked in advising the technical industry. Primarily, I was associated with one of the 10 largest companies on the Fortune 50 company list. And it was really interesting. So at that point, I had experience in both dealing with small startup businesses all the way to some of the top companies in the Fortune 50. And then to fast forward to today, I moved back to Idaho with my family, small town Idaho, southeastern Idaho, in 2019 to be closer to family. And I began working here at the law firm where I'm at right now. It's a unique law firm. We specialize in business restructurings. I'll talk a little bit about what that means, but really from a day-to-day business, from a day-to-day standpoint, what I'm involved in is really 50% law, I would say 50% business, and 99% problem solving and negotiation. So it's a wide variety of things that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And when I say business restructurings, what that means is this is when things go really, really wrong for a company. So think of companies you've heard in the news that file a Chapter 11 bankruptcy. We call it a restructuring bankruptcy. And also there's Chapter 12 for small farms. That's our focus. That's our specialty. There's not a lot of firms that engage in that type of work. And there's a good reason for that. It's very complex work. It involves a lot of numbers, which typically lawyers refrain from engaging in numbers. So it's kind of a unique area. Now, with that being said, I'll also mention that experience and that specialty really translates in what we do for small clients as well, clients that are on the other end of the spectrum, clients that might be starting a business, clients that are facing cash flow problems, clients that are facing financing problems. Our experience in the restructuring world drives those decisions that companies are making on a day-to-day basis. So it's a lot of fun. I love what we do. I'm probably one of the few attorneys that loves to spend time in Excel.
Well, so, I mean, just as you go through that experience, I mean, you've got the full gamut of experience from, as you said, you've started some businesses yourself. You're from an entrepreneurial family, all the way through working with some very successful companies when you were at PricewaterhouseCoopers, which is funny. Both of us are, I guess, graduates of PricewaterhouseCoopers, if that's the right way to say it. I don't know if that's right or not. So you've seen it all. You've gone from the small business, you've worked with big business, and now you're experienced kind of a little bit of the other side of business when you see businesses struggling and going through financial hard times and difficulties. And that's kind of what I wanted to focus on as we've talked about things, Mark, is just because of your experience, your background, I thought it would be so helpful to have your knowledge and experience kind of be brought to our audience so that they can understand, you know, some fundamental things that they need to be focused on. So they don't have to go see someone like you, because when people are coming to see you, oftentimes they're in a world of hurt and their business is struggling and they've got some problems. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's they usually don't come to us when they're having a good day. Now, you know, we do deal with a number of structuring businesses, and, you know, even syndications and real estate. So with that being aside, it's generally there's a problem and it's grown to the point that they're not able to fix it on their own and they need help. Yeah. Help that goes beyond just, you know, we have some financing issues to get over this next month and then we're going to be okay. It's to the point that banks are calling notes due.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. I guess one of the things that I want to touch on is I want to ask you this question. In your experience, what have you seen as to why businesses don't succeed or then have success and then fail? What are some of the, I guess, maybe the factors, things that are happening that cause that to take place?
That's a great question. And to be candid, I think that's probably one of the things that I enjoy the most about what we do is we really are able to develop sort of a pattern recognition over time, right? Or what are some commonalities of businesses that fell? And I really think it comes down to there's two parts that we've seen, I would say, to the failure of every business. Without fail, I can't think of a single exception. And there are the actual tangible issues that business faces. But then there's a deeper issue that we've seen that runs through every single one of our businesses, our clients, and that is there's a psychological element. And we'll talk a little bit about what that means. But it's more pervasive, I think, than one may suspect. So first of all, I'll talk a little bit about some of the actual problems. And I think that there's almost, if we were to break this down into financial statements, there's almost a progression that we see. First of all, most of these problems show up on a cash flow statement. There's usually some type of cash flow issue, right? And we start to hear statements, oh, you know, we need to wait until we close on this particular deal, or we need to wait until this particular crop sells, or we need to just wait until next month comes in and this additional loan comes in. So things start to get really tight from a cash flow perspective. That cash flow issue turns into an income statement problem eventually. things start to get pushed out further. And pretty soon, profit and loss, the profit and loss statement, income statement really starts to reflect the fact that we've gone on for some time now, and now we're not making a profit. And then ultimately, this shows up in a balance sheet. And that's usually about the time we get contacted. So banks are calling notes due. Lenders are no longer satisfied with the justifications that the borrowers are giving them. And they may even be concerned about their security or their collateral at that point. Some of the things that we see, some of the patterns that we see within this problem, in this actual tangible problem that I'm talking about, is most of these companies are generally highly leveraged. They're usually a very risk tolerant type of company. And it's really a matter of, you know, they might be okay for a few years, as long as the market is acting in predictable ways for their particular business or industry. But then without fail, the market sneezes, and then these companies catch a cold. Now, with that, you know, being said, there's risk inherent in any business venture. Of course, there's various levels of risk, right? And I think risk is a topic that could be a podcast of its own. I think it's a fascinating thing to look at in folks' tolerance to risk in itself. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to the fact that, again, dealing with this actual intangible problem, that folks are running too close to the edge, and an external something happens. Commodity prices take a downturn. There's a recession in the macro environment that impacts the company, whatever it might be. And when this downturn happens, or a divorce in the family, we've seen that quite a bit. When that happens, all of a sudden, the company has been running too close to the edge, is too highly leveraged, and they can no longer support their obligations. And at that point, the banks get involved, and things start happening quickly. Now, that's only one half of the problem. I think,
Mark, if I could jump in real quickly, is to talk about this part of the problem, because, and I want to go back to your other half real quickly. You're talking about a cash flow issue here. You know, it sounds like businesses will get over leveraged. They're borrowing too much debt. I'm assuming that could be because they want to grow, they want to expand, they want new stuff, whatever that might be. But I wonder too if, as part of that, and this is what I wanted to touch on, is in those good years when businesses are doing well, owners can sometimes forget the need to keep enough cash in their business to keep it capitalized, enough equity in there to keep the business going. I mean, they have this great year. Oh man, made hundreds of thousands of dollars or whatever. And then they take all the money out of the business for personal needs, whatever that might be. And so that later on, when, as you say, things get tight, pinch, something happens, I mean, they don't even have a lot of debt to then suffer business problems if there's not enough capital to even just pay, I guess, their normal vendors through just the ordinary course of business. I mean, am I right in saying that business owners sometimes forget the need to keep enough cash on reserve for when things get in trouble?
Absolutely, it does, Darren. In fact, I would say, you know, we have a couple of sayings that we like around the office, and two of those come to mind with that question. And one is that good years ruin more businesses than bad years. And when I say the good years, I mean the externally good years. As a case in point, you know, of course, here in Idaho, we deal with a lot of farms. A farm is a very, I would say, cyclical in some nature operation, just due to the fact that farm prices and commodity prices can be up or they can be really down. And as a whole, very few farmers have much control over those commodity prices. And as a result, we see this happen over and over again in that type of industry, where there is a good year and they go out, they purchase new equipment, they expand the operation, they might purchase additional real estate. And then, as always happens, there's eventually a down year, And that's when they're no longer able to make payments on that equipment or no longer able to make payments on that real estate. The other saying that that we often have here at the office is, and in relation specifically to the farming industry, is that a farmer fell because they were chasing new paint, right? They were always looking for that tractor that had the new paint on it. And instead of using the equipment they had. Now, that doesn't mean that we advocate for using equipment that's old and broken down and is going to cost the operation a significant amount of money either. But it does mean that just because your neighbor purchased new tractors because there was a great year in a certain commodity, that does not mean that you should. And I think along with that, I'll probably insert a little footnote here. And that footnote is this. I think a lot of times that, income tax professionals, tax accountants, for example, often advise industry and businesses ways to save money on taxes, which is great. I'm all for saving money on taxes. However, the way to save money on taxes is by drawing down the taxable income, which is also drawing down some of these reserves. So there is a downside, right? So I may pay less taxes this year by purchasing new equipment, but that also puts me closer to that edge for the year that commodity prices are down. Again, just returning to the farm industry as an example business. But this applies to all businesses.
Yeah, and I think you're right there. I mean, you gave the example of farmers because, that's a big industry in our area. But this truly does apply to anyone who is listening in business. What Mark is saying about this idea of the good years, don't get caught up in thinking you got to go out and spend that money just because it's there and available. Don't get caught up, especially, and here's where I see it a lot too, is as maybe a solopreneur or someone that, you don't have partners to answer to or anybody else, it's just you. You have a great year, flush with cash in the business, and now it's time to go big vacation or something personal, big new car or whatever, just because the money's there and you're like, this is great. But not realizing that if you drain all of the cash out of the business in years when things are tight, now you don't have those reserves to work with. And so I totally agree that this can apply across the board. And I love your analogy of taxes. I'm not going to go into anything more, but that is something that that example that you share of with taxes, don't get caught up spending a dollar to save 30 cents in taxes. Spend the 30 cents, save the 70, so keep that in mind. So I like that. Now let's dive into, Mark, you talk about this other aspect. I think you said more of a psychological or something, if I understand that right. What do you mean by that?
Absolutely. And this is something that I don't think I saw this at first in this particular area of practice where I'm at now. But the longer I am in this area, the more I realize the only word I can think of is the pervasiveness of this issue. So this issue, I've seen it in every single case without fail that we've dealt with. And the problem really comes down to the business owner has had an issue in their business. And generally, they understand that issue at first. And over time, they learn to cope with that issue. And I think that as humans, we are engineered to cope with problems in our lives. And one of the big mechanisms we see, we call it the ostrich syndrome, where it's an issue I have with my business, but I'm in so deep, I'm going to choose to ignore that particular issue. I'll draw on another metaphor, and I've seen this over and over again. I can give so many examples, it's sort of a situation where my backyard is on fire, but I'm concerned about the height of my lawn in the front yard. So I'm going to focus on these minor issues that are easy to control and don't hurt as much, perhaps as maybe the real issue that's causing my business to suffer. I can think of various industries that we've worked with where there's a huge, significant, glaring issue. And despite talking with that business owner, and a lot of what we do is helping these businesses, of course, in a Chapter 11, they have to turn things around and they have to do it on a short time frame, right? And now not only do they have to turn it around and on a short time frame, but they have to answer to a trustee, to the court, and to the creditors. And as they do this, it really becomes very transparent very early on what the issue is with the business. And these are really interesting conversations to have with these business owners as we approach them and say, okay, given the nature of your company, here is its status. And generally, it's a pretty ill business by the time they come to us. It's on the operating table and it's running code. And, you know, in order to bring this business back to life, we need to do these three things. And it's so fascinating to me as we laid those things out for folks, how seldom those things get done. And it can be very, very simple things. I can think of one instance where an entrepreneur failed to update a advertising sign they had out front. It had prices listed from years back. And, you know, they were concerned about some of their social media presence and failed to update their sign, which for them was probably their number one source of reaching out to their customers. And another business I can think of just as a couple of examples, and is a business where they were losing money on each widget that was going out the door. And I pulled in the numbers, I showed them, here's your financials, here's what it costs you to produce each widget, and here's what you make off of each widget. And their response was, we just need more widgets. And that doesn't work when you're not profitable on a per widget basis. And it's very easy to see these things, but doing them is so difficult. And I don't know, you know, we have a lot of very frank conversations with folks about where they want to see their business go. You know, it's almost sometimes it almost gets to seem like a self-sabotage moment. Right, where these companies have and people have been dealing with this for so long that they've just grown accustomed to that being an issue. And instead of saying, I can fix this, I can make my business better, they would rather continue to live with that particular problem and hope that it gets better by doing the same, engaging in some of the same behaviors. It's so fascinating to me how much of these businesses, you know, every company at the end of the day is managed by people. And as people, we have certain biases, we have certain psychological dissonances or cognitive dissonances. And these things impact our decision-making ability at a very fundamental level. And when that happens, it impacts the entire operation, regardless of whether it's a solo venture or it's a large corporation answering to shareholders.
Yeah, no, those are some good points, and it's so true. The one thing as I was thinking about as you were talking about this is this idea, you know, when you said these problems exist and they'll tend to ignore them for just the easier problems. I think a couple of things, and maybe we'll talk about this in a little bit. But I just wanted to bring this out to everyone is, as you said, you can't ignore those problems. They're real. Every business and every business owner can run into a problem, and you've got to address it, because as you pointed out, if you don't address it early on, the hole that you're digging and what you're going to get yourself into, ignoring it doesn't make it go away. It just delays the inevitable. It makes it so that it's going to be a bigger mess later on. And so those are some good points. And I just wanted to bring up to everyone, we're not trying to scare anybody here. This is not the point of this. I think this is an important conversation to have of just some things that we have seen, that Mark has seen as we've helped businesses and seen kind of the pitfalls that they fall into, in the hopes that for our listeners here, that you will take this and go, okay, when I see problems, I'm going to address them. When I'm going to manage my cash flow, I'm going to take care of those things better, so that you're not having to come and talk to Mark or someone else about these issues. And so that's the whole reason about this. And the one other thing I want to point out is we've got a few other things I want to cover. you know, Mark, I've told our audience that we always want to do 30 minutes or less on these podcast episodes. And I'm going to tell everybody right now, we're going to go a little long, and I apologize, but we got some good stuff here. Hopefully it won't be too long, but we got a few things more that I want to cover with Mark. And one of them is this, Mark, we talked one day and I asked you the question, because we're dealing with this pandemic, we're dealing with COVID, we're dealing with all these things. And we've heard a lot of businesses that have shut their doors. And I asked you, so, you know, Mark, is it something internal or external that generally causes businesses to come to you? And you made a comment, and if I'm not saying it right, correct me, you talked with your fellow attorneys at your office, and you said something to the effect that, as you guys have looked back, that there's no correlation between bankruptcies and a recession. I found that so fascinating, because what that meant to me is that really external factors are not the reason. It's more internal. Am I right on that? Am I hitting that right?
That's right. And I would say you're exactly right. Now, I would caveat that. I would say with the only caveat I would add is that's pertaining to the business bankruptcies we handle. So for personal bankruptcies, we do tend to see more in following a recession. But you're right. No, for business bankruptcies, there's really not a correlation. And again, this is just anecdotal evidence. I don't know, you know, broad spectrum what that would look like. Now, with the current pandemic, you know, we anticipate that there might be some filings going up for companies that have been, you know, singularly, I would say, or particularly impacted by COVID. The luxury industry, the travel industry, have been significantly impacted, as have real estate, residential real estate owners, with the assistance provided to tenants and the stays on evictions. So, you know, we may see some there, but in general, over the past recession, 2008, 2009, there was not an uptick for us in business filings.
So, yeah, and I find that interesting, because people will tend to say, oh, yeah, business just got tight, things got hard, and that's the reason why we had to shut our doors or whatever. And that may be true, but I think it goes back to the other things you were talking about, Mark, about cash flow, about a psychological thing. There was already a problem in the business that wasn't being addressed, and recessions and hard times tend to just rip the Band-Aid right off those things and expose it to everything, and you're going, oh my goodness, now what? And at that point, it may be too late to correct it. But I have seen, especially those businesses that have planned, that have cash reserves, that are dealing with issues, they tend to have the ability to cope and weather bad times rather than have to fold their doors or shutter their doors and say, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Without a doubt, you know, there's internal factors and external factors that come to play here, and for all companies, whenever they get to this point. But without fail, I would say the overarching problem that we see are the internal factors. You know, the problem that needs to be dealt with in your business today is probably the one you least want to tackle.
Yeah, it's the no fun one. And so now that we've kind of covered those, I guess, those issues, these things that, you know, cause businesses to fail, let's talk about, because I want to help our audience. Again, we're not trying to scare them. We're not trying to make them go, oh my gosh, I don't want to start my business because failure's right around the corner. You know, you mentioned fear. That's a whole concept for another day, another discussion. We've had a lot of entrepreneurs on our podcast talk about overcoming fear and facing their fears and learning to go forward in their business with just that element of fear always with them. I don't think we can get rid of it, but there's ways to mitigate that risk. And I want to talk about some of that here right now. Just maybe some key fundamentals, Mark, that you think every business owner should be focusing on when they're running their business, or if they want to start a business. What are some key fundamental things that they should be doing to avoid these kind of issues where they're coming to talk to someone like you about shutting their doors for their business?
You bet. So I think there's a couple of themes, and this is a very broad discussion to have. I think the first thing I would say is to really have an idea of where your business is. If you don't know how to read and understand a balance sheet, an income statement, a cash flow statement, then you need to talk to your accountant today. You need to learn from somebody who does understand what those things mean, how to read them, how to understand them. And they don't have to be fancy. They don't have to be long. They don't have to go into an SEC filing. But you really should have a very good understanding of where your company is on a day-to-day basis. And then to plan for some contingencies. So what if prices drop next year? What if consumer trends change? So many different examples are coming to mind right now in industry and the disruptions that have occurred. And there's a number of great books that have been written across the, in the business industry. I probably recommend, 10 or 12 of them right off. But I think that, trying to having insight into where your company is, true insight, right? Not just a gut feel, not just a, I think this is where the company's going, or I feel good about our business, but where is it really? Where is it headed? What does it look like? I talk, every single day I talk with business owners. And when we talk about their company and how it's struggling, I always hear the same thing. It's going to do better next month. And my question is always the same. Why do you believe that? How is it going to get better? What's going to change? And there's seldom an answer. Prices are going to get better. Something's going to happen. Those external factors should never be depended on. So it comes back to the internal and external factors that we talked about a minute ago. So I would say a couple of things I would be very concerned about on a day-to-day basis as a business owner. Number one, cash flow. Now that doesn't mean you're going to be profitable day one. Few businesses are, but you need to have an understanding where your cash is and how it flows through your business. How long does it take to collect on those accounts receivable? How much money are you floating out there daily, weekly, monthly? What will it take for you to break even? And are those assumptions that you're making in order for that break even to occur, are those reasonable? And then next of all, what does it take for you to become profitable? And how reasonable are those assumptions? So having a very insight into where your company is, I think is number one. We've talked about some of the tax saving issues. I see that come up with a lot of the companies that we deal with. I think that there's a series of books called the E-Myth series, and I don't know if you've talked about them on other podcasts, but I think they're a great series. First of all, I think that it's helpful to understand what type of a business owner you are and what your personal skill set is. Are you more of an entrepreneur, a manager, a technician? Knowing who you are and knowing your strengths, and then being able to work around your weaknesses. I don't advocate that somebody fix their weaknesses unless it's such a glaring defect that it doesn't allow them to use their strengths, but learn how to work around those weaknesses. Can you hire some of those things done? Can you outsource those things? Can you employ somebody to do those things? One of the things that we often see is the Barstool advice, right? Barstool professionals, we call them. So where do you get your financial advice from? Where do you get your accounting advice? Where do you get your legal advice from? If it was on a bar stool, if that person's on a bar stool, I would probably discount it. And another thing too, when things do go wrong, as they will, it's inevitable. Reach out to people, reach out to mentors, reach out to your accountant, reach out to your attorney, talk with people, reach out to other people in your industry. See what you can do early on before that problem becomes such a huge chasm that you're no longer able to address it. If I would say for the majority of our companies that we deal with in a restructuring situation, I have to think about this for a minute, but I would say for the majority, if they had come to us 2 or 3 years sooner, we'd be looking at making some minor adjustments in their company and not a restructuring.
Wow.
And I would say that's without the, for the most part, that would be, I'd have to think through our caseload, but I would say for the most part, that is without consideration to external or market factors or the benefit of hindsight.
Wow.
That's just merely a second pair of eyes looking at a company without the biases that the entrepreneur may have.
Yeah, no, and Mark, I appreciate those thoughts because I think, especially what your first thought about this, understand your business, where it is at from a financial standpoint. If you don't know what a balance sheet is, how to read an income statement or profit and loss statement, your cash flow, you need to understand those things because I think so many entrepreneurs, we've all done it. We put our head down and we just grind. We grind and we grind and we grind. We work hard. And like you said, there's this gut feeling, I think everything's good. I look at my bank account. I talked to one person one time and I asked him, how do you know if your business is good? Well, you know, what depends on the balance in my bank account. I'm like, oh my gosh, holy moly, that is the worst thing ever because that doesn't have a true reflection on how well your business is doing. And so anyways, your point is so valid. And I think it could be summed up like this, is get to know your business. And if you need help, hire a professional that can teach you and show you how to understand your business. Make sure that as problems arise, involve the right people to help solve those problems. Don't go to your friend that has a side business in as an attorney, and I put that in quotes, that's going to say, oh, yeah, just do this and this and this, you'll be fine. Go get the right help. Because, and I know people are going to say, yeah, I'll just Google it or I'll look because that's cheaper. True, cheaper now, but more costly later. And I think I can 100% say that with confidence, is if you try to cheap your way through a problem, the cost is going to be grundles more, 3, 4, 5 times more. Am I right there, Mark? Are you shaking your head?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'm trying to think through some of the restructurings we've done. I don't know if we've done one for less than $50,000. You know, they're expensive. You know, and in your options, I don't think we've done one for $50,000. I know the last one I did, I think we were around $225,000, I think is where we were on it. It was a business restructuring, but you're absolutely right, Darren. I think that, you know, I was on the phone with an entrepreneur last month, just after the holidays, and she was in tears telling me how hard they were working. And they are. These folks are, it's a fairly small business, husband and wife ran, and they're working their brains out on this company. And I said, and I told her, I said, the problem is, you would be better to stop working because this business is not being managed as it should. We talked about what those issues were. You know, and her mindset was, we just need to work harder. We just need to work harder. My husband is working so hard, she says. And I said, no, that is not the problem. Working is not going to get you out of a managerial problem. Managing is the only way to get out of a managerial problem, and changing how you manage. And, you know, those are very different skill sets. It's heartbreaking to see these things happen to folks like this particular set of clients, because all of the work in the world isn't going to matter if the company simply isn't managed. So producing more widgets doesn't help when you're losing money on each widget.
Yeah. And it, you know, and again, it goes back to that when you talk about weaknesses and different things, and maybe you're not very good at managing or whatever, but you made the point, find people to help you and find the right help. Again, the bar stool assistance may not be the best. There's plenty of business coaches out there, people that can help you along the way and give you that second pair of eyes. Yes, it's going to cost money. I get that. And you're saying, well, I'm trying to save money, and you know, we're not making a profit yet, but maybe the best advice they can give you is to look right at you and say, guess what? You're not ever going to make a profit because of the way you're doing things. You need to change this and this and this, or else all of your work is for nothing. And so I'd rather know that and pay that up front than have long hours of tears and hard work go to nothing because I just wasn't willing to get that help. So I appreciate that, Mark. And like I said, and I apologize to everyone, we've gone over, and I know everybody's like, hey, you said 30 minutes. We're a little over, about 8 or 9 minutes over. But Mark, is there anything else as we talk about this topic? Is there, and the fundamentals, again, our show, the Fundamental Entrepreneur Podcast, that's what we're all about. Anything else you'd like to just share, pass on to our audience that would be of help to them?
You know, I would think we've talked a lot, and we've probably addressed it from, you know, somewhat of a here's what happens when things go very wrong aspect today, Darren. You know, and I'll say this, I love entrepreneurs. I'm an entrepreneur at heart. We deal with entrepreneurs on a day-to-day basis. There's two kinds of people in the world, those who are entrepreneurs and everyone else. I'm really of the opinion that that's the case. And there's some people that, you know, that entrepreneurial vibe, or gene, whatever you want to call it, is so deeply ingrained within them that there's not a thing they can do about it, right? They're going to be entrepreneurs until the day they die. And I think that's awesome. I get it. I understand it. And I'm that way, right? So I think that, you know, the key is it's a learning process, right? There's every day as an entrepreneur, you're always just one day better, hopefully. And if I could say, you know, any advice as I thought about this, and I actually talked to our paralegal about this, who handles these cases with me, is really surround yourself with the right people. Choose mentors who are successful in what they're doing. Choose mentors who you can trust. If you don't have mentors that will be available to you at a no-cost basis, then hire those mentors if you have to. Be careful about hiring some of those mentors. I know there's a lot of money to be made on the unsuspecting entrepreneur. I think it's fascinating to see how many different business starting on thinking back to the real estate industry, for example, and how many get rich quick schemes there are in real estate. And it kind of cracks me up. I've had so many friends get involved with some of those schemes is what they are. So be careful about those. But, you know, business is fun. It's awesome. And I think that, you know, I'm a firm believer that that's what keeps this country going. And that is, that's what makes us who we are. So I hats off to all the entrepreneurs. It can be stressful, and it can be, there's some insecurity there, but there's also insecurity involved in being an employee. So hats off to everybody. Hang in there and know your business and know yourself.
Awesome, Mark. That's great advice. And we're going to leave it at that. I don't think there's any way to end a conversation like what we've had just with that. Yeah, hats off to everyone who's listening that's an entrepreneur. Believe in yourself, surround yourself with good people, and hopefully you'll never have to talk to someone like Mark. But if you notice problems, as we've talked about, address them early, and that'll help a lot. So Mark, I want to thank you for your time. This has been a lot of fun. I truly appreciate it. And want to thank our audience for being here. So Mark, thank you so much for being a part of this episode today.
Thank you for having me. I could talk about business all day long. I do, actually, I guess. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks again, Mark. Wow, I appreciate Mark and everything that he shared today about the fundamentals and why they're so important and why we as business owners need to focus on those. And again, as we talked about throughout this podcast, and I know we've gone long, I just want to make this point. Please don't take this as a means of trying to scare you away from being an entrepreneur or being successful in your business. We just wanted to have this discussion with Mark to, again, be a reminder of why the fundamentals are so important. We don't want to just put our head down and work so hard we forget about those fundamentals, that if forgotten, they can get us in trouble and lead us to have to talk to someone like Mark and work through all of those issues that come when your business is in distress. So just keep that in mind. And real quickly, if your goal is to start a business and you're listening to this podcast, well, let me tell you this. We can help you out here. We can get you on the right path. We are doing a live workshop on February 15th, 2021, and we're going to talk about the five fundamentals that will allow you to launch your business successfully. So if you want to check that out, go to the podcast show notes. There will be a link that you can learn more about it, and you can sign up for that live workshop. We're really excited about it. Well, that's it, guys. Again, we went long. I apologize. I just want to say, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to hear your questions and be able to answer those on the show. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Instagram. We got a lot going on there. But until next time, everyone, I want to wish you the best in your entrepreneurial journey.